You're listening to Terry Wickstrom Outdoors and 104.3 The Fan. Let's go right to the phones. Joining us is one of our probably longest tenured contributors to this show. He covers fishing, hunting, cooking, and just everything outdoors. Chad LaChance. Good morning, Chad.
Hey, good morning from Denver, Terry.
Hey, I know you're at a boat event. We're going to talk about that in just a second, but I was just thinking, you know, we got to get through this COVID stuff so I can get back in the studio so guys like you who will fill in for me can come in and I can take a Saturday off.
Hey, I'm down with that. You let me know. And I think pretty much everybody's ready to get rid of this COVID thing. And, you know, speaking of that, they, because of the situation, you know, pandemic, whatever, they are not doing the traditional Denver Boat Show this year at the Colorado Convention Center, which people may be familiar with. But instead, all the Denver Metro various boat dealers and up and down the Front Range, it kind of got together for a semi-organized kind of all-time sales event, let's just say, across the Front Range. And, of course, Crowley Boats here in basically Pecos and 76 is on that bandwagon as well. They've been a Denver dealership for more than 50 years, and so they're doing that as well. So Dan Swanson, a fellow official thinker guide, and myself are down here today and hanging out. I think the big note that everyone needs to take away more than anything else before we get going with this, Terry, is if you want to have a boat this summer, you better buy it now. Because what happened last year was if you waited till March, April, May to decide you wanted to go boating, you didn't get a boat till the end of July or later, just from the standpoint of availability. And they're expecting the same thing this year. So if you have any intention of spending this summer on a lake somewhere and you don't already have a boat or you're thinking of upgrading, now is for sure the time to do it. And to that point of view, my boat's already in here at this point, and because I was worried about that for myself included, and my boat's already here.
All right. Now, let's just say I am looking for a boat. I'm either a first time or I've had a boat for a while. I want you to take me through, first of all, when I come into Crowley Marine, what they're going to ask me and what tips and things you can give me to what I should be looking for in a fishing boat.
Well, the first thing they're going to want to know is where are you going to fish? Because that's going to make a giant difference. How much traveling are you going to do? Are you going to fish, you know, Chatfield all the time? Are you going to tow this thing all over the West? Or what the situation might be. And given that we're talking, for the most part, relatively newbie buyers, then I would say you're going to stay semi-local. So they're going to want to know where you're going to fish first and foremost. Second of all, they're going to want to know how many people you typically fish with. If you're a guy that's always out by yourself, well, your decision process is a little bit different than somebody that's always got a family of five in the boat. So they're gonna want to know about that, and they're going to want to know how you fish. I mean, are you a guy that loves to pull up on a spot and anchor and soak bait? Are you a troller, or are you a guy that's going to burn down the bank and make 1,000 casts a day? And so those things are all going to make a big difference in what style of boat you choose. But one thing is not going to change. They're going to recommend it here, and so am I. And I think you'll agree, whatever style of boat, whether you get a deep V or a shallow V, a fiberglass boat or a aluminum boat, it's not relevant. What is relevant is we are at a very high elevation here in Colorado. The number on the side of that motor that says it's 150 horsepower is a sea level number. When you come here to Colorado, it's not going to make that much power because of our thin air. And therefore, everyone's going to suggest, and I think you'll agree, Terry, that you want to put very close to the max rating that the boat has on it. There'll be a Coast Guard label. If the boat is rated for 150 horsepower, my strong recommendation is that you put 150 horsepower on it, because if you take it to, 7, 8, 9,000 feet in elevation and run it, it's going to feel straight up anemic compared to what it would feel like at sea level. And that's why we like the power. And it's not because we necessarily want the boat to go faster. We want the boat to plane out very easily with a lot of load, with all your people in the wind, in the waves, and whatever else might happen, so that you've got excess power on reserve. You don't have to be a guy like me that wants to go 75 everywhere you go. You have to realize that the extra power that the big motor gives you is as much of a safety and convenience and just general overall performance thing, not just a speed thing. And I think you'll probably agree with me on that.
Oh, I definitely agree with that. I think underpowering a boat is one of the biggest mistakes people make, and especially at altitude, but anywhere you buy it. And the reason that comes up is that a lot of dealers try to get price competitive because the motors are one of the most expensive parts, if not the most expensive part. By putting smaller motors on boats and putting packages together, you get all these accessories in this great package. You think you're getting this super fishing boat, but you're right. If it's underpowered, you're going to really be frustrated with the performance and the ability not only to get from spot to spot, but get off the water if there's bad weather. Those things all come into play. So let's just say we've kind of figured out the style of boat and the motor. What are some of the key accessories as a fisherman I should look for?
Well, I'm a control freak. You know that, Terry. And so for me, I've got to be able to have total control of the boat at all times. So the next most important thing on the boat after the motor and the whole design itself is for sure going to be the trolling motor, or the trolling motors, as the case might be. If you're a guy that's going to troll a lot, you might end up with a small kicker motor on there of some sort, you know, a little 10-horse or maybe a 15-horse motor on the back as well. But almost any fishing boat's going to come with some sort of an electric motor on the front, and that is something that also is not something I want to skimp on, because day in and day out, I'm going to spend more time on that trolling motor than I am on the big motor itself. And so I don't want to skimp there. Again, I want plenty of power, and whatever features I'm going to get, you want to try to do all of that at once. The rest of the things in the boat, the electronics, sonar units, and stuff like that, can be more cost-effectively and more easily upgraded. But the motors, all the control stuff on the boat is something that needs to be dealt with when you're purchasing the boat, if at all possible. I'm a big fan of, here again, the most amount of pound thrust that I can get. That's going to be a key thing. And again, I spend more time on the trolling motor on any given day than I do the gas motor. So that's really important as well. And that'd be the next most important thing I'd look at. From there, I would look at my graphs, my sonar and GPS units. I would be very honest with myself as far as how much I really intend to use those. It's one thing to get caught up in the latest and greatest thing, but you know, Dan Swanson and I have taught for many years now sonar GPS classes on the water in our boat. And what I find is guys have $3,000 sonar units, but they don't understand even past the basic menus of them. And so if you're going to be that guy, then save your money on the sonar and buy a more basic sonar unit. Like, for instance, I work with Lowrance. They do a hook unit, which is basically all preset, very simple. Then, you know, go that route. If you're a guy that's going to try to up your skills and really learn your game, well, then maybe spend a little bit more money on the sonar units.
Well, I agree on both those points. And one of the things that I've fallen in love with the last few years, something that changed how, especially I take my grandkids out a lot and stuff. On my trolling motor, I have spot lock or an electric anchor. That one innovation that came out probably about 10 years ago, and it's been so refined, to me is one of my favorite features.
Absolutely. I spend a ton of time, when I just said earlier, joked about being a control freak, I spend a lot of time with that trolling motor on a GPS anchor just sitting in one spot. So convenient, and especially if you fish by yourself. You can go to the back of the boat and the boat will sit there wherever it happens to be. You don't have to stand there and man it. So that's a really good thing to keep in mind for sure. I think another thing, just when you're choosing your boat, if you're comparing, you know, brand A and brand B and you're looking at boats, I would look really hard at the storage. I can't stand a cluttered boat deck. I don't like a lot of stuff all over the boat deck. I'm a rod junkie. I want to have 10 rods on the deck. I don't want to have anything else out there. So I'm a big fan of really studying the storage. Will this fit for my needs? You know, things like that. And then the last technical thing I would look at in a boat that's fairly major around here is the batteries. And that doesn't sound like a big deal, but, you know, my Ranger boat's got four big old batteries. And this year I upgraded all the way to lithium ion batteries because they weigh very, very, very minute amount compared to a lead acid battery. Yes, it's an expensive package, but they last forever.
Question.
And a lot more power and all that. So another thing to keep in mind is the batteries, how much work you tend to put into them. Do I need to be able to fill them, or can I use steel batteries because they're hard to get to, things like that. Because the batteries are not cheap. That's another expensive part of the boat.
We just had a question from a listener that wants to know if you've ever looked at the solar panel chargers for trolling motors.
Yes, I have extensively, and they don't produce enough amp hours to, or enough power in general to, not amp hours, it's not the correct term, but they don't produce enough amperage to charge a deep cycle battery enough to really matter. So they might get you an extra hour out of your batteries, but they will not produce enough power over the course of a day to keep the trolling motor batteries charged. The deep cycle batteries require more amperage than what those cells will produce.
Now, the last thing I'm going to ask, and then we got to run, is have you seen any particular models that just jumped out yet, either for a beginning fishing boat or maybe a decked out one down there at Crowley's?
Well, I got a decked out one with my name all over it sitting here that I happen to love, Terry. It's a Z521L. But no, jokes aside, that's a very high level fishing boat, obviously, with the Ranger boats. But they've got everything from the deep B luns to the shallow, you know, modified B, traditional bass style luns or bass style boats, which are relatively new for the luns. Those things have been really popular since I've been down here. Guys have been looking at them a bunch. And then, of course, the Riatas. I mean, the Ranger makes a boat series called Riata. It's basically a fishing boat with a family spin on it. It's the most popular boats that Ranger produces by a large margin, and they're a very, very popular boat sold through Cry Marine here. If you're a guy that's got a family or you got a wife who wants to go occasionally, but you still want to fish, you still want to store out your tackle below deck, the Riata series is hard to beat.
I'm going to make one more comment, even though we're eating up time here, and that is that if you're looking for a fishing boat, don't go somewhere that makes a ski boat or a cruising boat and puts a trolling motor on the front of it and tells you it's a fishing boat. You will get so frustrated it will sit in the driveway. Better off, like you said, with the Riata to buy a fishing boat that has family amenities than a other boat they try to make a fishing boat. Chad, last thing, how long will you and Dan be down at Crawley Marine?
Well, we'll be down here for a few hours today and a few hours tomorrow. I've got my Ranger dog here with me as well, and he's in charge of enthusiasm. We don't have really a set schedule because of the Rona and everything going on. There's not a big, giant to-do going on here, to be honest, but the sales events are going on, and it's just a time to buy right now. So we're all here to answer questions more than anything else.
All right, my friend, we will let you go. We'll talk to you again in a couple weeks.
Thanks very much, Terry. You guys have a great day.
You bet. Chad LaChance, always a great resource. We're going to take a quick time out. When we come back, we'll wrap up this week's edition of Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan.